Welcome back to The Inspired Educator, empowering new teachers to thrive. I'm your host, Dr. LaToya Crockett, and I'm so excited to have you join us today. This podcast is all about supporting new and aspiring teachers as they navigate the joys and challenges of teaching. Whether you're a first-year teacher, a substitute teacher, or transitioning into education, we are here to uplift and support you as you navigate your teaching journey. Today, I have a special guest joining us. Today, we are joined by Tamika Muhammad, an amazing educational consultant who is here to help us discuss a very important topic. Today, our topic is one that many educators will relate to: stress, burnout, and mental health. Our guest is going to walk us through some strategies that we can use to help get us through the end of the school year. Ms. Muhammad will share her insights and provide three powerful things that we can do to help prevent burnout and manage stress. So let's dive right in. Tamika, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm really, really excited to be here.
And we are so excited to have you here. It is May, so that means it is the end of the school year for so many of us educators. Your topic today is desperately needed and right on time. Before we jump in, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I am a licensed professional counselor, and what most people know that as is a therapist. I have close to 13 years in the mental health field. I've been in the community. I've been in managed care. I've been in hospitals. I've even been in schools. I was formerly a school teacher as well.
So you already know exactly what we are struggling with.
I do. I can relate to, because I had some experiences in school as well. I wasn't a therapist then. I needed some therapeutic services back then. But yes, I can absolutely relate, and which is one of the reasons why I started my private practice, which is called the Courage to Cope Counseling Services. And I was very intentional in that name, because oftentimes we as teachers, because as therapists, we also educate as well, right? We as teachers, we're also educators. It takes courage to cope, because oftentimes teachers suffer in silence. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get further into the interview this evening.
I absolutely love the name of your practice, The Courage to Cope. Like you said, it does take a lot of courage for any individual, not just teachers, but for any individual to face some of their challenges head on. One of the things I've noticed is anytime we say the buzzword mental health, people shut down. Or they get real quiet. So yes, I love that title resonates with me personally, but I know that it will resonate with so many of our listeners. So I was going to ask you what inspired you to focus on supporting educators, but hearing that you are a former educator, your experience in teaching, your experience in education had to play a major role in your decision to pivot and support teachers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because even especially since your podcast focuses on new teachers, as new teachers, we're learning the ropes, right? And we may encounter struggles, especially if you don't have a mentor or someone else that you can go to. You suffer in silence. So what I wanted my business to do was, even as an outside support, right, be in a place where I can support teachers who suffer silently, feeling like they have to do everything on their own. Because, you know, when you start as a new teacher, you kind of like, you have that superhero mentality, right? Which has its pros and it has its cons, right? So what I want to position my business, what I have been positioning my business is to be a support system for teachers, period. And also, especially for new teachers as well.
Yes. I love that you have it also where you can access services outside of the school system. Mm-hmm. Because I know there are times when I don't want the school to know anything I have going on, right? Like, to me, that's my personal business, dealing with my mental health, even if it's caused by the school system. For me, it is just safer. It makes me feel more comfortable. I am more open if it is something that is happening outside of the school system and not like in a workshop or a PD or a service I access through school.
Absolutely. And nowadays we have virtual therapy where, you know, especially if you're in a small town, depending on where you are, if you go to the counselor's business, the counselor's building, everyone kind of assumes why you're going in there. Now you can have counseling on your phone, you know, how we have, you can have it virtual on your phone, in your car, at your home. So it's more, it's even more private now because you can do it at your convenience in a place that's convenient for you.
Let's jump in. Let's go a little deeper. Before we discuss some of these strategies, can you tell us from your perspective, what is burnout? Like what is, by definition, what would you call burnout?
Burnout is, in layman's terms, you have put your all in and you have no more to give. You know how to give, but it is difficult for you to take that next step. Right? You've kind of, you've reached the end of your rope, so to say, right? And we don't want to get to the end of our rope. Let's find ways to take advantage of the entire rope, right? Not just the end of the rope. So burnout is, in layman's term, you've reached the end of your rope and you just don't know where you're going to get the energy or even the inspiration to keep going.
So what can we do? Or let me back up. What are some of the signs of burnout? How do we know that we are not just tired or exhausted or it's an isolated incident? What are some signs that new teachers specifically should be looking out for?
I'm going to mention several symptoms, and it could be a combination of all of them. And I think you mentioned something that it's not a one-time occurrence. This is something that has been going ongoing for weeks or even maybe months, because sometimes it takes us a minute to recognize that we're experiencing burnout and we may not even know. So sometimes we may get, quote unquote, enough rest, but we still wake up tired. You may get your 6, you may get your 8 hours, but you still wake up like, I am still so tired. And again, these are not one-time instances, right? If you notice that you get irritated easily and that's not your personality, or you're all of a sudden snappy and that's not your personality, that could be an indicator that burnout is coming or you are burnt out. One that many of us don't recognize is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, especially when we're working with smaller children, we kind of think maybe the child did it. You know, that we can't find what we were looking for, right? So forgetfulness. And, you know, especially talking to new teachers. For many of us, this starts out so inspiring, so much fun. When you begin to lose that zeal, that enthusiasm for teaching, we're approaching burnout, or we're at burnout. We are burned out. Physically, burnout can show up in headaches, stomach aches. You're always sick. You go to the doctor, he can't figure out what's wrong. And emotionally, you're detached, right? You're always overwhelmed. Even sometimes physically, your dress code may have changed. Hygiene habits may change, right? Miss such and such don't look the way that she used to look, right?
So many of these symptoms that you are mentioning, I have seen within myself and within a lot of teachers who are close to retirement.
Yeah. They are probably running slowly toward retirement. They're running, but because it's a burnout, they're burnt out. It's probably a slow run. But yeah, over a period of, and again, these are not isolated incidents. These are things you can look back at least 2 to 3 months that this has been going on. And it could be a combination, as I said, of any of these.
So I have a question, just a thought. Do you think female teachers are more prone to burnout than male teachers? And it's just a wondering, just something that popped into my head.
Possibly, because I think there are more female teachers, right? So that would be right. One. Look at it, right? And then sometimes the assumptions that we make as females may lend to us burning out sooner than male teachers. Mm-hmm. Some of the even, because you know, as a teacher, you're not just a teacher, especially when you're dealing with the younger ones. You're a nurse, you're an auntie. You play all of these different roles, right? And they may not look at the male teachers the same way. of course, there are pressures, especially in this day and age in teaching. There are lots of pressures for everyone. But I do think that females carry a little bit extra pressure than the males do.
And you just mentioned some of it, but I'm still going to ask, why do you think teachers are particularly more vulnerable to burnout or anxiety? And like I said, you just mentioned a little bit, because I know I do it. I know that I am guilty of this, of taking on more than what I need to, and even more than what I'm expected to sometimes. I will say we all have very high expectations, but every once in a while I've noticed nobody asked me to do that. I just did it. I put the pressure on myself. You mentioned how we are not just teachers. We are seen as mothers, as aunts, as nurses, as therapists. Like, we do it all. We are teaching, especially in kindergarten, we are teaching children how to tie their shoes. We are teaching them social emotional skills. We are teaching them how to control their bodies. So we carry a lot more than just teaching content, than just teaching math or just teaching reading. And so I think that's part of why we experience such a high level of burnout. Can you think of any other reasons besides the ones that you've just mentioned that might contribute to us being more susceptible to burning out or higher risk of anxiety?
Absolutely. And I also, and what you just mentioned is just in the classroom. And I also recently found out that one of the districts here, I'm in the Atlanta area, they're responsible for potty training. Yes, this is a public school.
Oh, no, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Pre-K is responsible for potty training. This is just a classroom. Now, teachers have outside lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about just the classroom and all of these responsibilities, also, we have home responsibilities. Many of us have husbands, we have children, we have second jobs, we have grandchildren. And not to mention, we're also human. When things happen to our children, our students, we carry the emotional weight of that. So we're talking about classroom stuff. We're talking about home stuff. We haven't even talking about personal stuff yet, right? Taking care of the person. And the emotions. A lot of us are dealing with children who have emotional issues. Teachers don't have bulletproof vests on, or you're impacted by the stress that this child is going through, the diagnosis that this child is going through. And oftentimes we haven't been taught how to manage all of these responsibilities, right? We're managing everybody else. But we haven't been taught how to manage this. Being a teacher is a great responsibility, which also lends back to why we need our teachers, right? We need teachers. That's an understatement, right? But teachers also have to be taught, especially new teachers, how to balance all of this.
Yes. And it needs to be explicit. I think the education system assumes that teachers will figure it out.
Yes.
Because it looks like we've been figuring it out. We've been carrying the weight and we just figure it out. And our children appear to be okay. I think COVID told the world that that's just not true. I think part of the world didn't listen.
Absolutely.
I also think the other part of the world is compassionate and understanding to what teachers are going through. But because it's so systematic that this is the way it's always been, they need somewhere for their children to go.
Absolutely.
And so they just continue to do what's been done.
Absolutely.
And that leaves us still fighting for ourselves. Even though everyone is well aware of this issue that is staring us right in the face, we're going to pretend like it's not there.
Absolutely. Teacher have to do all of these unspoken expectations. We have to do it with a smile. Right? We have to do it with a smile. And it's so funny that you mentioned COVID. When the children were sent home, I think we got a glimpse, a small glimpse of what teachers have to go through. Because, you know, as parents, a lot of us, we are love sending our children to school. Let school handle this. Let school handle those problems. When COVID came along, we had to handle at home. If Johnny or Henrietta or Abdul wasn't paying attention in class and not doing the work, you had to handle that at home, which gave us another
perspective
we would have never had. We would have never had, not had it been for COVID. And oftentimes, teachers are expected And really, they are to be superheroes, right? To do all of this with a smile. And that, when I heard about that responsibility of having to potty train, I was like, teachers are so invaluable. We put a lot of responsibilities on our teachers. And it's a heavy weight to carry. It's possible, but with support, the proper support. Right? The proper support.
I definitely agree. The proper support has to be there, and you have to be okay. You have to be willing to reach out for that support. Mm-hmm. And then once it's given, be open and ready to receive that support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that could be the hard part, because you're a teacher. You're supposed to know, right? Having to know it all is also one of those unspoken or unwritten expectations as well.
Yes, I definitely agree with that point. And part of me is always like, where does that come from, right? Is it because as a child, this is what I saw modeled in front of me when I went to school? Because it's not like it's explicitly said, right? Like when you go through your education program, it's not like you have professors telling you that you have to be all of these things to children and just deal with it. It's not explicitly said. So then where do these common thoughts and ideas that teachers are superheroes and teachers have to do everything, where does that come from?
That's a great question, because I remember going from undergrad into my first teaching job. The only thing that undergrad prepared me for, or schooling prepared me for, was having that degree. Everything else that I encountered as a first, second, third year teacher was on the job training, right? It was on the job training. And sometimes, again, talking about not knowing how to set those boundaries, your day is full of your classroom activity, right? So even if there are support mechanisms in place, who has the time to reach out if you haven't set boundaries on what it is that, or even identifying what you need?
That's right. That's right. I have done a few episodes on structure, routines, and procedures in classrooms. And I think that's part of being able to set boundaries and being able to reach out for help. Because it's like you said, it takes time to reach out for help. So while you're doing that, or you're dealing with the situation, what are the rest of your kids doing? Yep. They need to know, I'm off limits right now. Huh? I have to either make this phone call, or I need to step out for a moment. This is what you do when you see me doing X, Y, Z. Like, those routines have to be put in place, and then you can take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
I believe in my heart that building leaders, building principals, instructional coaches, SEL coaches, they want the best for teachers, just like they want the best for students. But if you don't reach out to them and let them know what you need, they can't come down and support you.
How would they know if you don't tell them, right? And especially if we're doing everything with a smile, right? With a smile.
You said it. You said it. With that in mind, thinking about burnout. Now we have a definition for it. We know what it looks like. We can identify a few behaviors to help us realize that we are on this path to burnout. What happens if we're already there? We weren't able to put something in place beforehand. We are already there. Can you give listeners some strategies?
Absolutely.
What can we do to help us either avoid burnout, if possible, or if I'm already in it, what do I do?
I know we hear this word boundaries, and sometimes we think boundaries is a bad word, and it's not. It's necessary. So for example, this is how you would set a boundary. Some of us come in to work early and we stay late, right? Pick a time that works and stick to it. I'm not saying all 5 days, but maybe on Tuesday and Thursday, you're leaving at 3:30. Well, I've known some teachers to stay to 5 or to 7. That's why I'm supporting them right now as clients. But pick a day where you're going to leave at a reasonable time and stick to it. Because that coming in early and staying late has impacted you adversely, right? So we have to pick small goals. Even if you start with one day, maybe on Tuesday, pick Tuesday, I'm leaving at 3:20, and stick with it. That's how you set a boundary. Wind down time. Dealing with people, dealing with children. We teach them on debriefing. we also need a debriefing as well. And it doesn't have to be anything long. It could be 5 to 10 minutes where you're stretching, you're writing in a journal, you're doing deep breathing, you're meditating, but try to do some type of debriefing. It could be done. A lot of people do it in their car. Once they get into their cars or once they get to their destination, they stay in the car about 5 or 10 minutes before they go into the house or go to the grocery store. Wind down. And these are practical things that we can implement immediately, right? 5, 10 minutes on a regular basis. Have wind down. And then the third one would be, oftentimes when we are asked to do something, some of us feel that we have to do everything that's asked of us. Let's start creating a not now list, right? You're not necessarily saying no, because for some of us, it's hard to say no, right? But not right now. If you're offered, you're asked to do something, and if there is an option, because sometimes no one says you have to take it. We make the assumption or we think that we need to take it. But start creating a not now list. Maybe you can do that second semester. Maybe you can do that next year, especially if your plate is already filled. Not now. You're not saying no. Can we revisit that in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Use language like that. I would love to help. So maybe we can revisit that in a few weeks. Not now list. So setting those boundaries by picking a time to get into class, to get to work at a reasonable time, and to leave work at a reasonable time. Wind down. Everybody needs to debrief. Children need to be debriefed, and also teachers need to debrief as well, right? 5, 10 minutes, and then making a not now list. You don't have to do everything. Everything is the major word that's asked of you.
I love the not now list. It makes you seem so much more, I guess, just human, mm-hmm. right? I think the verbiage comes off when it's polite and respectful. It lets whoever asks you to do something, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a building leader, it lets them know, I am a team player. I want to support. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it now.
Yes.
So give me my time to do what I need to do. And when I'm available, I am more than happy to support you and help with whatever it is that you're asking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's balance.
That is beautiful.
Right? It's balance.
That is absolutely beautiful. So to all of our listeners, in case you did not catch it, those three strategies. 1, set boundaries. 2, have your own wind down time, intentional wind down time. And 3, make that not now list. I am stealing that one because I love it. That is absolutely beautiful. So with the strategies that you just gave us, for me, like I can use that for both to prevent burnout and help me kind of pull myself out, because it is May. It is the end of the school year for us. Mm-hmm. So for those educators that are literally in it, like you are already stressed, you are already burned out, you are counting down the day until school is done. You have to take a step back and you can still set those boundaries.
Yes.
Even though it's the end of the school year, it doesn't mean that these strategies will not work. So still set your boundaries. Set your boundaries with your families because you do not have to be accessible to them at all times. Set your boundaries with your students. You are not at the point in the year where you just want to keep saying yes, yes, yes to everything they're doing, so they'll leave you alone. And then the one that really got me was that wind down. I think here at the end of the school year, that's going to be the most important one. When you leave work, leave it there and take that 10 minutes, like you said, sitting in your car, whether you can actually get in the house and you have the space to yourself, just sit and just be. Don't be in such a rush to get to the next thing. And that's what I find myself doing. The moment I step in the house, it's time to cook dinner. I got to let the dog out. I got to unpack the backpack. I got to check in with my daughter and see how her day was. There is no wind down time. There is none.
You need a
transition. So that's something else I need to do.
Yeah. You need a, we need a transition between work, because that transition helps us turn off work. It helps us switch the knob off, opposed to going from one activity, work activity. There's no break. There's no transition to say I'm off work. So oftentimes our mind still is at work because we haven't shut down work yet. So that wind down can be that transition for your body to say, oh, okay, school is over, work is over, now on to the next task. Right?
I was going to ask you to share an example with us of how, what this would look like, but you just did it and it was absolutely beautiful. That transition. And you know, whether you have a family or whether you are going home and it's just you and your dog, whether it's just you, you still need that transition time. You need that wind down time, because you just made an excellent point of being able to disconnect from work. So many of us as educators bring work home.
Yes.
And even if it's not physical work, it's mental.
Absolutely.
Because you're still thinking about the kids. You're thinking about what's on your to-do list for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about, I got to get there early because I have a meeting. You need that 10-minute transition time to literally let it all go before you can start to take care of yourself and your household. That is so powerful. That is just so, so powerful. Tamika, your work is absolutely amazing. The work that you do for educators, it's just so inspiring and so needed. Like, I just, oh my gosh, I just can't say enough. I can't say enough about how much your work is so needed right now. And especially right now, and not just because it's the end of the school year. Teachers are in a very, very unique space right now, where we are battling to take care of our kids. We are battling to take care of our families and to take care of ourselves. And I mean, I've been teaching for over 10 years, and this is the hardest that it's ever been, because it just keeps coming from everywhere. Everywhere. Doesn't matter where I've worked, what setting I've been in. This is the toughest, and I still love it. And the reason I still love it is because I've been able to do what you're telling our new teachers to do. I need to do it better. That not now list. I got to do it better, and I got to work on my transitions.
Practice
but
makes
I have been doing it. Yes.
Practice makes perfect. And take it one step at a time. And that was going to be some of my, sometimes we try to fix everything. Because as teachers, we are fixers as well, right? One step at a time. One step at a time.
You said it. We are fixers. We are. So before we wrap up, before we close out our podcast today, you've already said so many encouraging and uplifting things, so many encouraging and uplifting words. Do you have any final words of encouragement that you would like to offer to new teachers who are feeling overwhelmed and just don't know where to start when it comes to addressing teacher burnout?
Absolutely. Self-care. I know that's one of those buzzwords, right? That's one of the things when we become engrossed as teachers that we need to also incorporate. And it could be a small act. The wind down is an act of self-care. Even getting enough rest is self-care. Sometimes we look at those things as self-care. There are things that could be put to the side. But no, we have to be able to maintain to keep going, right? Sometimes I'll use a car as an analogy. If the car keeps going and going and going and going and going and going and without refilling with gas, what's going to eventually happen?
You will be sitting on the side of that road.
You're going to be sitting on the side of the road, right? So we too need to be recharged. And it doesn't have to be anything huge. It doesn't necessarily have to be a trip to Dubai or a trip to Hawaii. Sometimes it's how we look at self-care. It could be that wind down time. It could be a longer shower. It could be rest, right? Sometimes, like we talked about, we take our work home. Do we have to do that every single day? Can we have wind down Wednesdays where we leave everything at work? Again, the requirement is not for you to do this every single day, because sometimes that's not sustainable. When we try to incorporate some level of self-care every single day, that also adds to the stress, right? What we're already doing. We're trying to teach, we're trying to be moms, we're trying to be dad, we're trying to be self-care. So, but being intentional about your self-care, and you are enough. You are enough. Teachers, we need teachers. I think that's an understatement. I think it's a cliche, but can you imagine a world without teachers? Right?
No, ma'am.
You are doing well. You made it to the end of the year, and you are enough.
That is beautiful.
As a new teacher, if you didn't do it this year, make certain that you find resources for support. If it's something that the school offers, even if you're not ready to actually ask for the help, know that help is there, right? Find where those resources are, and so that when you are ready, you have them at your disposal.
I love that. I love that, that being proactive piece, because the goal is to help new teachers not experience burnout.
Yes.
You might be a little overwhelmed, and that's normal, but we don't want you to get to a point where you are burned out and you leave. Especially when you are passionate about your work and you want to be in education. That is the whole goal of this podcast. With that being said, Tamika, thank you so much for joining us today and thank for sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me. This was a joy. This was a joy.
Yes, we will definitely have to have you come back, because next year we have to help get our teachers ready for the beginning of the school year. So we definitely will have to have you back so we can help support our teachers.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
To all of our listeners, if you connected with Tamika's insights, be sure to follow her work and learn more about the incredible support that she offers. I will be sure to link all of the ways that you can connect with her in the description for this podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast and share this episode with a fellow educator who you think would find it beneficial. As always, remember, you're not just surviving, you're thriving with a purpose. Until next time.